initially I had to, you know, decline because I don't have the expertise, defense issues. But you see, my good neighbor and friend insisted, and there's no way I can get out of it. Anyway, thank you very much, Ramos Wong. And Ramos Horta is here. Was checking on us or what? Thank you again. Now, this gathering is, of course, to me, essential, a critical forum where ideas are tested, assumptions challenged, and common ground quietly built. Now, I'd like to speak about how Southeast Asia is holding its ground through cooperation, collective resilience, and the steady exercise of our own agency. Malaysia and Singapore, Prime Minister Lawrence, continue to deepen our cooperation across the board. This I prepared before, I know that you are going to attend. So it's a very sincere expression. One example is the Johor-Singapore Special Economic Zone, an economic partnership designed to boost investment, innovation, and connectivity between Singapore and southern Malaya. In a world increasingly shaped by fractures and fault lines, we aim to offer a different kind of border, one defined not by division, but by shared purpose. If this Johor-Singapore Special Zone is a glimpse of what cooperation can achieve at the bilateral level, then ASEAN is the wider canvas. The 46th ASEAN Summit in Kuala Lumpur held last week was substantive and productive. We adopted the KL Declaration on ASEAN 2045, a 20-year roadmap to knit our region closer together with jobs, connectivity, and the sustainability at its core. This is the kind of groundwork on which lasting security is built. We made the historic decision to admit Timor-Leste as ASEAN's 11th member, with formal admission expected at the summit in October. Now, the situation in Myanmar remains grave, but we are not standing still. ASEAN does not seek to engineer outcomes, but we are equally clear that the five-point consensus dictates that a resolution that excludes those most affected by this crisis will not endure. Myanmar's nationhood must be forged through inclusion, not erasure. Beyond our borders, ASEAN is widening its strategic aperture. The ASEAN-GCC Summit deepened ties with the Gulf. This week's launch of the ASEAN-GCC China Trilateral Initiative, unprecedented and momentous, reflects our intent to connect ASEAN's energy and talent with the Gulf's capital and China's scale. New tools like the ASEAN Geoeconomics Task Force are helping us navigate external shocks with sharper coordination and foresight. And while such headlines matter, the real strength lies in what happens beneath them, or what happens within us, as in what Tocqueville describes as the habits of the heart. Rituals that help to establish and sustain democratic institutions with a coherent moral ethos. And that gives us habits of cooperation, trade facilitation, cybersecurity frameworks, cross-border data rules, cultural cooperation. They may not be as dramatic, but they are no less vital, for they give Southeast Asia greater impetus to work together. And the more we act together, the harder it becomes to be pulled apart by external gravity. Preserving our autonomy is not about resisting others. It is about strengthening ourselves. This, in essence, is what ASEAN centrality is about. The same spirit shaped the ASEAN leaders' statement on global and economic and trade uncertainty. We warn of the dangers of unilateral actions, retaliatory tariffs, and the growing risk of global fragmentation. We affirm ASEAN's commitment to an open, predictable, and rules-based trading system, not because it is expedient, but because it is essential. Southeast Asia is not new to globalization. We are one of its original crossroads. From the trade routes of Malacca Sultanate, Majapahit empires, kingdoms across Southeast Asia, to the data centers of today, our region has long depended on openness to goods, capital, ideas, and people. This openness has anchored our prosperity, established our politics, and strengthened regional cohesion. What holds true for us holds true elsewhere. Where trade flourishes, stability follows. When it falters, the consequences ripple far beyond any one region. Economic openness is not just about creating prosperity and growth. It is a source of equilibrium, both between nations and within them, to deal with pressing issues that affect the people, such as poverty, social inequities, or even digital divide. Open markets create the kind of mutual exposure between nations that encourages caution, not confrontation. And when this system is disrupted, markets lose their bearings. Investor confidence wavers while financial flows seize up. What began as a commercial rupture becomes a systemic shock. History reminds us that these shifts are rarely gradual. This commitment reflects the realities we face every day as open, export-driven economies, deeply connected to global markets. For countries like ours, fragmented trade raises costs, lower resilience, and depressed investments. Currency volatility and investor flight do not respect borders, and disruptions in energy, food, or critical minerals cascade quickly through societies. We are therefore under no illusion about the security challenges ahead. But in Southeast Asia, we have learned that lasting stability begins with steady fundamentals, clear policies, and a long view. Trade is not a soft power indulgence. It is part of our strategic architecture. And like any critical system, it must be protected not from competition, but from the onslaught of arbitrary imposition of trade restrictions. All this talk about trade does not mean that we are oblivious to the hard security challenges facing our region. Voltaire famously observed that optimism is the madness of insisting that all is well when we are miserable. This is undeniably a sobering moment in history. The number of armed conflicts is now at its highest since the end of the Second World War. From war in Ukraine, to genocide in Gaza, to civil strife in Myanmar, Sudan, and the Sahel. We must not allow selective outrage or strategic fatigue to dull our moral clarity. Indeed, the genocide in Gaza is a test of our collective conscience. The scale of devastation, the open defiance of humanitarian norms, and the paralysis of institutions meant to uphold them demand more than sympathy. They demand consistency and action. The new orthodoxy affects not just how we view diplomacy, but how we structure security. If persuasion is dismissed as weakness, then exclusivity becomes strategy. We do not object to like-minded partners talking about among themselves. But coalitions that build walls instead of bridges, stoke arms competition, or undermine the legitimacy of multilateralism should give us pause. force. A stable region is not one braced for conflict, but one grounded in openness, transparency, and habit-forming cooperation. We understand that nations need a degree of control over their defense industries and critical infrastructure. We recognize that a measure of deterrence helps keep all parties honest. It is that, with that realism in mind, that Malaysia adopts a posture of active non-alignment to preserve our ability to act on our terms. It is a deliberate way to remain outward-facing, connected, and in control of our strategic space. The suggestion that we do not necessarily align fully with one side, then we must have capitulated to the other, is untenable. Nowhere is this more evident than in the prevailing discourse on the South China Sea, where the dispute is far too complex. Our objective is not achieved through escalation, nor by provoking others into disproportionate responses. It is best pursued through steady, principled diplomacy, quiet where necessary, but always firm. Malaysia remains deeply concerned about the potential for escalation among the claimants in the South China Sea. We have no interest in seeing tensions spiral into confrontation. Least of all in waters so critical to our own security and prosperity. That is why we will continue to engage with all parties calmly, directly, consistently. We will urge restraint, encourage dialogue, and work to preserve the stability on which this region depends. Above all, we remain steadfast in our principled insistence that all parties uphold the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. Prime Minister, ladies and gentlemen, Malaysia does not believe in spheres of influence. History has shown that when major powers attempt to divide the world into exclusive zones of control, smaller nations are often left voiceless. Stability does not come from carving up the map, but from creating space for all to participate meaningfully in shaping the order we live in. Our approach is one of active non-alignment. We will engage all who are willing, major powers and middle powers alike, not to set one against the other, but to maximize our own strategic space. Indeed, while we welcome a strong and enduring United States presence in the region towards fostering peace, we also value our vibrant and firm ties with China and our robust partnership across Asia, Europe, and the Global South. What Southeast Asia needs is a dynamic equilibrium that enables cooperation without coercion and a balance without bloc politics. For Malaysia, this is a deliberate and strategic posture to help preserve an open region, to assert our sovereignty, and to make our own choices. Terima kasih. Thank you.